The girls from the college come, named the Moonshiners, and we name them right around the college, and they've done such a wonderful job, and I'm certainly glad they were able to come, and certainly appreciate the opportunity of mine to be here. Brother Angel, thank you for the invite. Brother Coral, thank you. These are good men, and I certainly appreciate it. And boy, the preaching has been absolutely wonderful. I worked at the camp yesterday all day and got home about 5:30 and had to field some phone calls from some preachers that needed help, and finished about 7:30 and then tuned in here, and Oliver Razor was knocking the walls out of this place and did a wonderful job last night and certainly enjoyed it. And then, of course, Brother Angel's message was such a blessing. If the preaching that you've heard thus far, if we'd cut it off even right now, was certainly worth the conference, and it's been absolutely wonderful, and it's just been good. And, you know, sometimes we think that, things are not being accomplished, but I think things are being accomplished, and we don't know that. That's the problem with not being able to assemble. You cannot assemble remotely. Forsake not the assembling of yourself together. So you can't assemble remotely, and you cannot fulfill the Great Commission like we are today. So I'm gonna pray a little bit, and if you're a Democrat, you can slither out before I preach or either cut your live stream off. But I want to say, first of all, you talked about the Kavanaugh family. Years ago, I was promoting a college. I don't know how many years ago, but Phil would have to say. But I was out there, and the family came preaching in his home church, and that whole Kavanaugh family came and talked to me. Dad and Mom came, and I saw the children. And we've had quite a few. How many Kavanaugh kids graduated from Providence? Four or five, I guess, and all good kids, except Brother Angel's son-in-law. And but other than that, no. Pete's a good boy. He's a good boy. We just had to beat him when he was with me. I had to beat him about every other week to keep him straight. But he's a good. He's hard-headed. He's ordered. Yeah. I love the grandkids. Yeah, the grandkids are worth it. But I was with them the other day, in fact, preached down there and had a good time with them. And I love the Kavanaugh family and thank the Lord for them. And I want to say this to you that help at the college, and just think about this for just a moment, what you heard just a while ago from Brother Kavanaugh. Are you not, does your heart swell like mine to know that you had such a part of that? Some of these young men that are here that God has raised up. I mean, my heart, when I go out. Now, I don't know how much you hear our preacher boys preach, but I hear a lot of them. You got a stamp on them, my friend. To think that you've given that many years to the school has been, of course, appreciated by the angel. Trust me when I say that. But to think that all of us, Dr. Hall and all of those adjunct faculty, Brother Woodward, all of those who take part of the school and put something in these kids, to think that they're all across. I used to pray, dear Lord, bless our preacher boys in the United States, but now it's across the world. They're everywhere. And God has blessed them in a good way. No hot shots, but fireballs. And a lot of them do have fire in their soul, and I appreciate that. So you just got to really, really understand the contribution that we've done to some of these young men. And it's got to just absolutely, in a godly way, make your heart swell. And we certainly appreciate that. Turn your Bibles, please, to 2 Kings, if you would, please. 2 Kings. 2 Kings chapter 7. I cannot say enough about the friends in the room and what they mean to me and how wonderful it is at this time of our lives to stick around for a little while. I've always run with preachers that stuck around. Very few of my friends are hop, skip, and jumpers. Most of the guys stick around, stay in their pulpits for a long time. So because of that, we see the fruit of our labor. And it's a wonderful thing to be able to marry kids now that I held as a baby and married their own parents at the time. And it's good to see that and see some of the fruits of your labor. All these guys hop, skip, and jumping every 18 months, they never really get to see that. But certainly glad that that some stick around to see that. You forgive me today, but there's something been stirring in my soul and have now for 5 or 6 weeks. I have laid this thing out. If you get the preaching the last 5 or 6 weeks, before this thing even started, you'll understand that I laid a lot of stuff out that actually came to pass, and now they're catching up. And it's a marvelous thing when the world catches up to the Lord. But anyway, you'll see it pretty plainly. And there's no new thing under the sun. And so we understand that what's taking place today just might be a God. You ever thought about maybe he just put us on pause because we got our eyes on everything else and we're so impressed by what we've got that we got very unimpressed with him? Maybe we do need to just pause for just a little bit. If you believe that God's still on the throne and he's sovereign, maybe he did this for a reason. We don't know. Maybe he wanted to see if we had any guts. Maybe he wanted to see if we had any backbone. I'm not sure, but man, as I read that scripture right there, and when I read my book, I see that there was a different character down in that book than what we got today, this man in pulpits. When I see those of the past that died for less than what we are rolling over for today, it kind of sets my soul on fire. So I want you to see it, please, in 2 Kings chapter 7. Could you stand? Let's just stand, the few that are here, and you at home if you want to stand. PJs and all, just stand. If you can get out of that easy chair, come on, get out. Let's read a few scriptures, and then we're going to just talk to you a little bit. We've heard some preaching. I'm going to talk to you a little bit. Look at verse 1, if you would, please, chapter 7. Then Elijah said, "Hear ye the word of the Lord." Boy, when God says hear him, you better hear him. "Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow, about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Then the Lord, whose hand the king leaned, answered the man of God and said, behold, if." You ought to circle that word if. Because when you begin to if God, you're in trouble. Yes. If the Lord would make windows in heaven might this thing be? And the man of God looked at him and said, Behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not eat thereof. There are four lepers, men, at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say, We will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit still here, we die also. Now therefore come, let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live, and if they kill us, we shall but die. And there rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians, and when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp of Syria, behold, there wasn't nobody home. You see that? No man was there, for the Lord had made a host of the Syrians to hear the noise of the chariots and the noise of the horsemen, even the noise of a great host, that they said one to another, Lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the kings of the Hittites and the kings of the Egyptians to come upon us. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their life. And then, and when these lepers came unto the uttermost part of the camp, they went into one tent and did eat and drink and carry them silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it, and came to another tent and did the same thing, didn't they? I want to speak a little while on the subject, hard decisions. Or when there is no choice, you still got to make a choice. And I believe that that's exactly where we are in the United States of America and in Illinois in our churches. It's where we must make a choice, even though we think there is no choice. Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear God. Please bless and help. I pray that you take this simple message to the hearts of every individual that's hearing. And I pray, dear God, that you'd stir our souls like never before. I pray that you do something real and everlasting in our hearts. I pray, dear God, that we'd understand the satanic delusion that we're under in this, not only in this state, but in the United States, but not only in the United States, but around the world. I don't have to reiterate, Lord, what folks really know, that this is a global thing. The Antichrist is behind it, and all those that are pushing this are satanic inspired. But Lord, there's some things we need to understand from the Scriptures. Pray that you'd help us to understand that, bless God, we need to make a decision very soon. Pray that you'd bless and help in Jesus' name, and amen. You may be seated. In chapter 7 of 2 Kings, the context remains the starvation of the city of Samaria. The Syrians had encompassed the city, had it under siege. They were causing people not to be able to go and sell. They were starving to death within the walls of the city. They could not go and come. They could not buy or sell. They could not acquire food. In other words, shelter in place and die. When things seemed hopeless, the man of God stood and announced to the leaders a message from God Almighty. And I hope we understand as preachers, that's what we're to do from this book. And I believe that's what's been done here in this conference, a message from God, from His Word. And here the man of God says, I got a message for you. And I want you to pick it up in verse 1 and 2 again. He said, God said that tomorrow. Y'all got to get the context. It's not black words on white pieces of paper. Tomorrow. You're going to eat like kings. How could this be? See, folks, the problem is we read our Bible for devotions, but we really don't enter into that these are real stories are really happening. There were people dying all over that place, even to the point of the animals dying. You'll see that in just a minute. How could this be? People are falling out, dying everywhere, children and animals and wives and husbands. How in the world could we have all that we would want. Well, we get finally meal flour for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for the same. How could this be? How could this be true? How can we buy or sell food when we're starving to death? I want you to pick it in verse 2, if you would please. The king's right-hand man asked the question. Watch it very carefully. Then the Lord of whose hand the king leaned answered the man of God and said, behold, if the Lord opened the window of heaven, I mean, could this thing be? We're falling out, dying all over. You know, that's the problem right now. We got a lot of people falling out, dying, and we're saying we need to get back to doing what we're doing. And some people say, could this be? I want you to look at what he said. He said, and the man of God said, you know, you're going to see this with your own eyes, but you ain't going to be able to take none of it. And you know why? Because he doubted. We got too many Christians that thump their King James Bible, but they're doubting all of it. Because when God Almighty tells us to do something, he wants us to do it. You should not doubt. You should never say if. And right now, because of the mandates that's been put upon us, we're saying if. Jehoram, close advisor, doubted the man of God and God's announcement. But worse than that, he doubted God, because God, Jehovah God, had told him this. Because he doubted, he would see it come to pass, but he would not be allowed to eat it. Meanwhile, there are 4 leprous individuals. Don't you see it, please? They lived outside the camp, outside the walls. They did this because the Levitical laws in Leviticus 13 talks about these lepers being outside the wall. It is okay when we have sick people to quarantine sick people, but you do not quarantine well people. And that's what they were doing. The Syrians were quarantining the well people within the city, and they were dying. I don't want to go into some of the science that's going on today and the science falsely so-called that we're hearing day and day in and day out and day in and day out. I'll tell you how to get rid of COVID-19. Turn off your TV and it'll go away, because they keep indoctrinating us and indoctrinating us. Y'all don't like what Mr. Phil said about television? Let me just go ahead and help you with that. You ever pronounce that? Tell-a-vision. They are telling us their vision. Have you ever thought about what it's called? It's called programming. They are programming us. You know what it's called when you flip? It's called channel. They're channeling satanic stuff through their thing, and we're getting part of it, and that's exactly what America is made up today. We don't even know who the God of the Bible is anymore. We'll not follow him. We got a yellow streak down our backs, that's stinking wide, look like a road map. It's a shame, but when God Almighty tells us to do something, we need to do what God says, and we need to understand that. When you say if, these 4 lepers outside the camp, because God said you'd cover your upper lip and you said, unclean, unclean, and you'd live outside. They were outside. They were not complaining, Brother Angel. They knew, because they're sick, they knew they need to be quarantined. I'm not sick. And the truth of the matter is, as far as I know, none of our people in our church is sick. I pray to hedge of protection around our college, around our church, around my loved ones. And as far as I know, none of them are sick. I may die tomorrow. But if I do, it's God's will. But God help us in this day and time, in the United States of America, that we're living under such satanic oppression and state-run and martial law. And if you don't believe that what it is, why don't you talk to some of the ex-communists that came to your church and got saved like I have. And they tell me this is exactly what happened right before we went to communism. Pick it up in verse 3 and 4. Look at it if you would please. And when the 4 lepers, men, at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, why sit we here until we die? And I guess that's my question to the independent fundamental Baptist churches that are tuned in today. Why sit we here till we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then and famine is in the city, we shall die there. And if we sit here still, we shall die also. Now, therefore, come and let us fall unto the hosts of the Syrians, If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die. I thought that was a funny statement, personally. We ain't got no choice. I talked about when you ain't got no choice, still need to make a choice. So we can sit here and die. And could I say to everybody in this auditorium and on live stream, go ahead and sit there and die. So you can sit there and die if you want. Or you can sit in a famine and die. We can go there and die. We can go there and die. Or maybe we could just go into the hands of the enemy. And our fate there won't be any different than our fate there. But we know that we're going to die there. And we know we're going to die there. And we're pretty sure we're going to die there. Hard decision. Now, some of you wasn't raised like us. Some of us were raised pretty rough. I never gambled. My daddy was a gambler a little bit. That's a gamble, to go into the hands of the enemy. But that's what they did. They faced seemingly an impossible decision, but they made the decision. Let me say, first of all, that sometimes life will throw us a curveball where we have to make some hard decisions. In our spoon-fed society, we have people who hate to think for themselves to make those hard decisions. Every one of us in this room need to understand at some point in our life, we're going to be faced with stuff that absolutely looks impossible. We don't know what we're going to do. We don't know how this thing's going to play out. But we've got to make a decision because that's the only thing we can do. But man, when you've got the news media thinking for you and the politicians thinking for you and the doctors thinking for you, and all of a sudden now, for some reason, all of the news media keeps this thing going. They love it because all of the ratings and because all the advertisements. They're making so much money they don't even know how to act. And then the doctors, for the first time in their life, are getting adulation by standing and thinking they're God, that they're going to come up with a solution, as Mr. Cuomo said over there in New York, that God didn't cure these people. God is not helping these people. We're helping these people. Made that statement. I know somebody did that in the Bible. He ended up eating grass. We have it all around us. All of these elitist politician jackasses that absolutely think they're somebody because they're elitist. They're going to tell us scumbags exactly what to do. Don't tell me I don't know what I'm talking about when our own lesbian mayor here in Chicago says that she can go out and get a haircut because she believes in her personal hygiene, but all you other dogs can roll into dead stuff on the side of the road. Like we don't believe in hygiene. That's that elitist talk that we hear over and over and over again. Bothers me a great deal. And so we see this spoon-fed society that's always looking for somebody to think for them, and we have a brain-dead independent Baptist movement sometimes where the people can't even think for themselves, and what we need to do is stop just a little bit and start thinking for ourselves and turn the stinking TV off and make sure that they're not doing the thinking for us and stop listening to these people that are in bed with China trying to tell us how bad this stuff was. I don't want to go into statistics. Get the vast preaching I've done in 5 weeks. All the statistical numbers just don't add up. Just was sent something just a while ago where our fat governor, you see, you shouldn't be disrespectful. I'm not trying to be, but you're going to have to calm me down a little bit. It bothers me when the man has more wealth than Mr. Trump. They own all the Hyatt motels. Press it does. And yet he asked his chief person to stand up, to stand up and tell us how many deaths, COVID deaths we had. She said, I'm not quite sure. I don't know. She don't even know how many deaths in Illinois. She said, because everybody that dies right now, if they're tested and then they have COVID, they died of COVID. That's not true. If they died of a heart attack, they died of a heart attack. Listen carefully now. Here's what it is. And I've got just too much information to give you today in the little time I have, but listen to me carefully. What you get, I just buried my wife's younger brother Saturday. It's a sad situation. And I said, I want to see his death certificate. I want to see what they put on that. And they were accurate at putting on what happened. But what they're doing now is they're putting COVID-19, because the doctors will tell you if you put the squeeze on them, that whatever they put on the death certificate is the funding they get from the federal government. So if they need funding in this certain area, that's what they get. And right now, because this is a phenomena, they're putting COVID-19 on everything, hence the numbers are jacked. Listen carefully. 34,600 died of flu, common flu. Do you understand over 14 million people have died since January, and we ain't shut nothing down except for this little bitty COVID thing? Do you understand that flu is COVID? Do you understand you get that all the time? Do you understand millions have been diagnosed with the flu? We ain't never shut nothing down. And I got stats I can give you to absolutely blow the top of your stinking head off, and they have them too. These are educated people. You got to go to college and get a degree to be that stupid. To start giving the stats they're giving, and ain't got enough stinking sense to understand and read it yourself. You say you seem upset. I am. No sunshine here. Just a lot of facts. And let me tell you something about facts. They're hard. They're stubborn things. Facts are stubborn things. The decisions the four lepers, man, had to make gave little or no hope. You know, we've talked, brethren, it seems like where we're at right now, if we continue, and by the way, listen, you say, well, preacher, one of these days they'll let up. Why one of these days it should never happen? That's what I'm trying to say. We keep thinking, just be patient one of these days. We've tried to be patient. I've been patient for, I had to swallow deep to do. I met with my state's attorney and the sheriff, and I told them, and they could not answer my question. I got proof of that. I got witnesses that sat in my office and heard what I said. They could not answer my question. They didn't even know what the law was. They begged me, because of your reputation and because of the influence that you have in this area. Preacher, please, please, it's optics. You have too many people on a parking lot. It's optics. I said, I'm going to tell you what the optics are. Five police cars stopping all of my people coming in. Not all my people, just the teachers that were coming in to do remote teaching. Stopping every one of them, checking them out, and taking their license plate, a picture of a license plate, and recording that. That's optic. Get them off my parking lot. You say, you don't talk like that. I do talk to them that way, because that little tin piece of thing on their chest, don't scare me, son. You understand that? We have a right, and that's where we're at in our nation. We don't understand our constitutional right. We don't understand our biblical right, and we ain't standing for nothing. We better stand for something. My preacher's taught me, you stand for something or you're going to fall for everything. But let me tell you what they did, Brother Angel. They moved forward. Somebody said something about that, I think, last night. I think you might have. It's always right to move forward. It is never right to move backward. Ever. Are y'all with me? Say amen. Stay here and die. Go in there and die. Bless God, let's just go walk right into the arms of the enemy. And I think that's kind of what maybe we need to do. You want to arrest us? Arrest us. But we're going back to church. Forward is always right. Always the right choice. Backwards is never the right choice. So let's look at some of their choices. Look at it. It's very simple. I just talked about it. Number one, stay here and die. Sit here and die. Sit here and die. That's what we're doing. We're just sitting. Sit here and die. Go back into the city and die. There's a famine doing there. And could I say, there's a spiritual famine out there. If we sit here, we'll die. And if our people go back in the world, they're going to die again. Well, let's just go ahead and face the enemy. What's wrong with our independent Baptist people? Are they scared? Have we raised a bunch of spineless wonders preaching this King James Bible? We're going around thumping it, but don't believe a word of it. Do we have people in our pews that won't even take a stand strong enough to understand that our forefathers went to jail and many of them died for less than what we're being put under right now? Where's our Christian lawyers? Get them out from under their desks and tell them to come take a stand for some of our churches and defend us instead of charging us arm and leg after we're already supporting them. Go forward. Into the enemy territory? Probably die, but maybe not. I think it's very funny. But we should just die. I mean, no big deal. We're going to die over there. We're going to die over there. But I think it's a funny statement. He's saying, I know the other two options. We're going to surely die there. I'm going to go ahead and roll the dice, and just maybe. Now, I want you to notice that what decisions were made. Just a simple message, but I want you to look at it because it's for us today. They simply walked into the Syrian camp. This is what I've been talking about, some of the stuff that we need to do. Maybe rally, but maybe there's other ways of doing it, and we've discussed that, and we'll continue to discuss that. But things are on the horizon very quickly right now. But I'm just simply saying that when they did that, listen, when they made those decisions, they simply walked into the Syrian camp. Why not? No worse fate could befall us. Just maybe the enemy will spare us. You ever thought about this? If all of our churches open, our little old community policemen can't police all the churches in our area. The problem, we've got spineless preachers that will not open their churches with the rest of us. Hang in and listen very carefully. If all of us in our community and Illinois would open their churches, they don't have enough policemen to arrest us all. They'll back off as sure as I'm in. Isn't it funny that in Colorado, in the liquor stores and the hoot stores, you know, you can smoke marijuana freely over there. I mean, it's legal. But the Woodward have been trying to move there for quite a few months now. But anyway, it's legal there. When sunshine. Acapulco sunshine. Anyway, so all of a sudden, they got mad. The drunks and the heads, the hippies, the druggies, they got mad, took to the streets. You know what the governor said? Oh, okay, we'll open them. We'll open them. And they opened it up, shut the churches down, but kept the hooch galleries open. I told the state's attorney and the deal. I said, well, I'm going to get my staff start planting some marijuana back in the church here. We can be essential then. I told both of them, he can tell you, I said, if anything's essential, is the local New Testament church praying God would get rid of this stinking virus. You people ain't going to do it just because of your little medical stuff. God's going to have to intervene in this thing. And please don't get me on to who started this and where it came from and why. Just get the preaching the last 5 weeks. I was on to it 5 weeks ago. It's amazing what we're putting up with now in the name of compliance. Notice what they found. When they walked into the arms of the enemy, look what they found in the Syrian camp. Pick it up in verse 5, if you would, please. And it rose up in the twilight and came to the camp of Syrians. And when they were come to the uttermost part of the camp in Syria, behold, ain't nobody home. Hey, y'all ain't listening to me right now. We got an army that surrounded a city, starving those people to death. They were scared to death of these people. These guys were warriors. And all of a sudden, these four lepers walked in and they ain't nobody home. They're going, unfounded fear. Unfounded. I don't want to get into this today. I said too much today, but that's weird stuff, man. Unfounded fear. We got freaks walking around today. I just can't understand it. I just freaks. When I drive down the highway or down the road and I look this way and I can see 2 miles that way and there ain't nobody there. I just came 2 miles. There ain't nobody on that sidewalk and they got a person here with a mask on. What in the world? I just feel like something going, oh! Give them a reason to wear their masks. And if you ain't laughing with me, shows you just how screwed up you are mentally too. You've let somebody think for you. God help us. Unfounded fear. Their decisions to confront the enemy was counterintuitive. Watch it carefully. But when they faced their enemy, God moved. Look at it. God moved. Faith moves God. And I think that's what we like. That's what Jesus said. When I come again, will I find faith on the earth? We don't have enough faith to go ahead and face our enemies. And maybe if we face our enemies and do what we should do and been commanded to do by God Almighty, just maybe God will move. And all of a sudden, they begin to hear chariots. Can you imagine that strange noise they heard? Chariots. Look in verse 6. Chariots and footmen and horses and noises. And a great host is coming against us. Maybe, just maybe. That Samaritan, that the king has hired these outside allies to come in and defend them. They split. They left their stills and their moonshine and their sunshine and their gold. And look at me now. It's a real story. Fort Leffersman, listen carefully. I'll just go ahead and insert this here. If people inside the city where the resources were starving to death, what do you think about those lepers? What did they have to eat? Their own flesh? You talk about some boys that were hurting. So think about this real, I mean, let it get in your soul that all of a sudden they go to these enemies, think they're going to die, and they go, ain't nobody home. And they started walking, hello? Hello? Comment ça va? That's a little French. And they go into a tent and they go, are you kidding me? And they fell face first in a gold mine. You better get a hold of this. Starving to death. Look what the book said. They ate. They drank. They had silver. They had gold. They had raiment. You imagine them old, see, you have the filthy rags and putrefying sword. You imagine them old lepers, man. Just we've been there before in Philippines, you remember. And their flesh is rotting off. Can you imagine what their clothes was? And all of a sudden they in this camp, and they're putting this fine raiment on. How do I look? Like a leper with a nice coat on. A fat leper. You just ate all the meat. You know, you had that lunch meat. You cut that thick. I mean, can you imagine these guys starving to death? And they end up with all this bounty. I think it's amazing that these boys went face down in the gold mine. And if you read the remaining verses, they got convicted, Brother Angel. They got convicted, Brother Coral, that they were partaking of all this good stuff and their brethren were doing without. And excuse me for saying this, but, you know, we get to sometimes dwell a little deeper sometimes in the Word of God and really get some good stuff. And I really want my brethren to get it. And all of this live streaming stuff ain't it. No fellowship, no face-to-face. I mean, in our place, they did cutouts. I hate that. They got a whole family, a big family right here, and they're all looking at me like this. They never bow their head to pray. They never do anything. They never respond. They never say amen. Got a whole family over here, and the ladies, you know, they did the cutouts. I leaned over Brother Kavanaugh and said, you see that family over there? I said, them ladies, that's the wrong size. Well, one of my men said, yeah, when you're cutting out your own shape, you can make it whatever, however. They got a visitor with us, got earrings, tattoos. I mean, he's got everything going on. We got folks that got cut out, got masks on. They're some of the Democrats in our church, I guess. You know. Funny stuff, man. You got to laugh to keep from crying. You got to laugh to keep from hurting somebody. They need to get back and tell their brethren for the bounty they found. You read the story, the king was a bit hesitant. I don't blame him. In leadership wouldn't. I mean, what they've started with that. They had us bound here. They had us shelter in place and we're dying, we're starving. And then you're telling me just go into their camp. Now, let's read the scriptures you would. Go ahead and read it. You can look at it. They took some horses, some of the horses they had left, which means that some of the horses died. Look at me carefully. I'm not trying to add to the scriptures, but I guess you just got to have imagination, which most people don't because they don't think. If I was starving, horse meat's on the menu. And if you don't think horse meat's good, just ask me and Kim. We ate some good zebra. We shot a lot of zebra in stinking Africa. They taste good. They taste good. Yeah, but they taste good. I mean, when I was eating one, one said, whoa, and I almost choked. But anyway, just read what I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you right now, horse, they had the remaining horses and sent them out to see what was happening. Everything was kosher, and they went in. And the man of God's prophet And the prophecy that he gave was spot on. Look at verse 16 and 17, please, and I'll be done in a second. The people went out. And by the way, after the king had sent out these horsemen, you can see it there in verse 15, how they saw where their Syrians had ran and threw stuff in haste. So they said, no, they're gone, king. So, of course, they came in. And I want you to look at 16 and 17. And the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. Can you imagine this? The people that caused them to starve, they are now going into their possession, their tent, and taking what they have. Do you understand that one day, who was that last night? Was it Brother Oliver? Somebody say we win or something? We do win, and we're going to get all that they ever took from us. Trust me when I say that. And they spoiled the tents of the Syrians, and the measure of the fine flour was sold for shekels, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. The next day. Who would have ever thought that the next day after starvation that this would take place? But when God says something, he actually means what he says and says what he means. And when you say if, you're in trouble, boy. And so all of a sudden, this guy saw it. Look at it. If he said in verse 17, the king appointed the Lord on whose hand he leaned and was in charge of the gate. The people trode upon him. Whoa. He saw it come to pass. But all of a sudden, he's at the gate. He opens the gate, and then people are coming out to go into the tent. And they trampled him and killed him. As the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. Now, I'm going to finish up here. Just hear me, if you would, please. Today in America, we find ourselves in a very hard situation. We all need to make some hard decisions right now. Our president does also. I don't want to get into this because I don't know what's in his head. I know he's smarter than most people give him credit for. He almost sets them up like dominoes and then lets them build the gallows and then he hangs them on their own gallows if you really watch the man closely. But there's some heart. He's got to do some things, too. And I've been watching his body language a little bit. I study people. I watch their hands. I watch their feet. I watch their eyes. I watch everything about them. I can tell about a man pretty quick. Don't take me very long at all. And I watch Mr. Trump a lot of times. And he's saying, you got to be careful what a man says, what a man is. So I watch him. It looked like his body language. He's not liking any of this. It's kind of like what I said with the state's attorney and the sheriff. They were telling, two Democrats were telling me, preacher, please. In other words, they were saying, we're not for this either, preacher, but we got to do what the governor tells us to do because he's our boss and we don't want to lose our job. But I was reading their body language like, we're not for this either. And I really believe if our churches opened up, that's exactly what's going to do. The police are going to come in, not going to want to touch us. They're not, even if they do, they're not going to want to. And before long, if they do anything to us, you got a lawsuit big time. And sometimes we're going to have to do that. We have a virus that's killing people, but what's destroying America is not the virus, but idiots that are shutting down American economy and making lemons out of all of us. We're just rolling over, mouth-breathing lemons. We just take whatever they say to be true. Oh, this thing is bad. I asked my staff several times, I said, somebody's got to talk to me because I'm not hearing it from them. How bad is this stuff? It's certainly not as bad as AIDS because we didn't shut nothing down for AIDS. Certainly ain't bad as H1N1. Ain't as bad as that. It was killing a lot of people. A lot of people. Check it out. Never shut down any of that. So I'm just wondering, how bad is this? And finally I finally came to the conclusion, heard somebody say, it's three times as contagious, 10 times worse than flu. I'm okay with that. And I don't want anybody to misunderstand that I don't understand the seriousness of what's going on. But you better understand the seriousness of what's going on outside of the virus. And that's what some people don't understand. I believe that this red devil Chinese communist has released this because it's pretty obvious that those in Wuhan could travel all around the world but could not travel within China. Got to get all these facts. because facts are stubborn things. So you can't travel. Hey, quarantine them. They cannot go anywhere in China because we don't want this thing out. This thing is bad news. But if you and Wuhan, if you want to travel all over the world, you can do that. And they did and spread that thing all over. Listen carefully. No president has ever dealt with China the way Mr. Trump has. Listen, folks, please, I'm not trying to promote Trump, although I'm for him totally. I'm trying to promote truth. And to think for one moment that he put billions of dollars of tariffs on that man and they never had that before. It's a chess game. If you don't understand big government, it's a chess game. Mr. Trump will move and his tariffs, billions of dollars. And Xi says, we ain't never had that before. And we've taken advantage of them stupid Americans so long. Asiatics are thinkers. Them Shemites know how to think. Us Americans, we just run our mouth and build stuff. And so what Mr. Chi did, I'm going to make a move now on this chessboard, and we're going to release something. You say you call it biological warfare. You call it whatever you want, but something was released on America that's absolutely stopped us dead in our tracks. So Mr. Chi right now has moved, and it seems like Mr. Chi's on the top of the game, but the game's not over yet. So we need to understand there's something more to it than that, and I've said it before. I smell a rat with a 10-foot tail. There's a dead fish somewhere in the aquarium. So many more will die. If you ever think about this thing, if the economy keeps going down, Brother Coral, we could actually go into depression. I told Kim several weeks ago. I said, if this thing keeps continuing, I said oil prices are going to drop so bad they're going to pay us to take the oil off of us. I told her that like 3 weeks ago. You know what the news said last night? It's negative. $37 a barrel? Have you ever heard such? Preacher said that weeks ago and told his wife that. You can verify that. See, when you start doing that, man, it kind of wants anything. Second of all, Mr. Bill Gates, if you study any of that thing out, when those guys are that extremely wealthy, when they begin to move money, extreme amount of money, billion, $350 billion, when they move it anywhere, it just throws the economy all off. Buffett, Gates, just study it out and you'll see. This stuff is going on. It's almost like a contrived thing. Soros and all them. Like, we're going to make sure that we're equal with all. That's exactly what Mr. Obama did. Went around apologizing for America. Mr. Trump is now trying to bring it back to be the old America with patriotism, a love for our country. And we got some people actually don't like that. So Mr. Chi, I think, did what he did. And I believe now he's leveling the field. And by the way, China owns us. If you check what we owe China, if they ever pulled the debt, America would have to go bankrupt. If you don't know those facts, I'm sorry. You need to study them. Number two, I remember the day when they shut down the penicillin plants in America. And I said, where are they going? China. They make all the penicillin. Number next, they make all the generic drugs that most of our people take. Number next, they make a lot of the vitamins and supplements that we take. A lot of them, most of them. Number next, they make almost all of the ventilators until recent. Do you see where they have us? And then they control 96% of the rare earth minerals that makes your phone vibrate, that absolutely makes our phones operate, your flat screens. NASA, everything that America's around comes out of China and the rare earth minerals. Folks, listen, they've been playing this game for a long time, and we've had presidents that rolled over and allowed this stuff to happen. And now they know that they have us over a barrel. I'm simply saying somewhere, somehow, this is all a setup, and y'all know it, and I don't have to preach it, that this is all a setup for the last day, Antichrist takeover, globalism. We understand all that. But you need to understand something. If we keep our churches shut down, we will lose influence of the gospel in America, and our missions program will be shut down. And we'll got thousands of missionaries all over this world that can't even get home because they don't have any money to get home. You got to see the whole thing, the whole implication of this thing. Decency, morality, righteousness will be a thing of the past. I'm hearing welcome to the new norm. That bothers me so much, I could scream right now. That's what they did at 9/11. where radical Muslims took down some buildings, not Terry Angel. This man's pretty radical, but he's not a Muslim. But ever since then, he almost gets arrested every time he goes through a thing, and I don't blame him because I do the same thing you can ask. You listen to me carefully. You can like what I'm saying, don't like what I'm saying. I don't preach for amens. I preach for truth and for God, and listen to me carefully. When I go through O'Hare Field and tell my little wife, you watch how many Muslims check us in and look at us up and down like, are you approved to get on our airplanes? Wearing their burqa, wearing their headdress with a Quran on their little desk. How many times I've done that is staggering. And every time we go through, we do a strip search. It's the saddest thing in the world. Because, you know, got everything out of your pockets? Yeah. Every time I come out, they go, Sam, right here, sir. We need to pat you down. I said, listen. It's my love handles. It's not bombs. It's love handles. You don't have to pat them. Are you sensitive? I said, I'm always sensitive when a man touches me. It is. They're checking me for my love handles. That's what your problem is, brother. That's why they check you too, Brother Cole. Now, see, that ain't funny. It's funny to me because they do it every time. They got to go around my belt and feel back. Welcome to the new norm. Flew over 1,000,000 miles before this. Some of the top flyers on several of the airlines, they treated me like I was somebody. I ain't nobody, but they treated me like I was. They even knew my name most time when I walk the desk. Let's go. It's good to see you again. Are you upgrading? Yes, I am. And sometimes have enough points to upgrade first class and a service with dishes instead of plastic with the scum suckers in the back. You know me. Had to wear the shoes and I do all that stuff, see? Yeah. Now, they look you up and down. Welcome to the new norm. I don't like the new norm. And what they're saying now about what's going on now is welcome to the new norm. If that doesn't bother you, there's something wrong with your Americanism, something wrong with your Christianity. I'm not going to accept it as the new norm. The Democratic mob says that it could be over even as late as May, the latter part of May. The Democrats and their state-run media have struck fear into the hearts of the people. There's a woman at Walmart last week. My son and I were walking, looking for some glyphosate. I had to do some things on the farm. And so we're in the grand boys behind us, and we're walking to Walmart just like what we do. I mean, I don't go. I don't shop, but we had to go get this stuff. And so I'm walking like this, and ladies in front of us had a mask. This is in Iowa, man. Iowa. And she's got her mask on, and all of a sudden she jumps out of the way, and she said, well, good night if you're in that much of a rush. I didn't know what happened. I said, lady, what's your problem? We got too close to her. We were 5'6" from her, not 6 foot. Yes. We were a good way from her. She just got ticked. She had a mask on, Democrat, and just mad. And when we're past, I said, lady, what is your problem? Like this, my son behind me. And we passed this close to her. And my son said, aren't you glad, lady, that the virus can't go sideways? It only goes forward and backward. Because I taught him how to think. Are y'all with me or no? So what we're going to do is we're going to put little footprints down at Walmart here and here, 6 foot apart, because we're too stinking stupid. Because we can't think for ourselves. Like Stephanopoulos said, we got to think for the American people. What an insult, you elitist, Jack Wade.
You're right, man.
Yeah, I'm right. And people don't like it, but that's why I do it. So, but Terry, 6 foot apart, but then they snake us, which means now we're only 1 foot apart. Folks, if that don't bother you, there's just something wrong with you somewhere. You slept too long on one side of your head and your brain rolled out. Freaks walking around the street with a face mask on, no one within 2 miles of them. They got us under control, folks. Got us on the mat. I don't know if they're going to let us up. Is this the beginning of the end? I don't know. These corrupt politicians and this corrupt media must go. I've never seen a president in my life would not play into the news media because they know, every president would know that they can make or break you. And this man is knocking them dead every time. and getting away with it because he's exposing them for what some of us always knew. How many times have you heard me over the years, and some of you that have been part of my ministry, I've said, if you hear the news media says something, believe the opposite, and you got it right on. They're lying to us, but yet they're programming us. And what's sad, Brother Terry, is some of our people are listening and buying into it. We must stand up for our constitutional First Amendment and for our biblical mandate. We have a biblical mandate. You heard me tell those men that. I have it. You work for a governor. I work for God. I got a biblical mandate. So we got this Mississippi, these cops going around ticketing these people. That'll never stand up in a court of law. By the way, they took those tickets back. But see, you can turn around and sue for that, and they should. When we're willing to lose our freedom for security, we deserve neither. The destruction of our free country and churches that made her great are under siege. It's time for civil disobedience. I'm going to say that one more time so you hear it real, real clear, everybody. It's time for civil disobedience. And you listen to your pastor, do what your pastor says. But I'm telling you right now, it's time for churches that say they believe what they believe for civil disobedience. We need to open up our churches by the first Sunday of May. We need to do that. And all of us need to do that. There's not enough police to arrest us all. And if they come, they're going to come for the leader to get the leader. I'm not scared of that. Good night. Come on, folks. You got to be kidding me. They killed my forefathers? And you're worried about going to get three hots in a cot? Are you kidding me? Shut up, chicken. Let them take us. But you know what's going to have to happen? You're going to have to step in Brother Angel's place. And some of you church people need to send Brother Angel some cookies while he's in jail. But that's what's got to happen. They'll stop it. They'll stop this. We can't continue to do this. These are good people, law-abiding people, people that love God and love their country, and we're not going to arrest them. And when the police says, I don't care what tyrannical leader puts these mandates, we are not doing it. When they stand up to those jackweeds, this insanity will stop. I got to quit, but I'm not through. Let me just give you this real quick. Okay, I'll pray. Hillary Clinton and Barack Hussein Obama absolutely worshipped Saul Alinsky. He wrote a book, of course, Rules of Radicals, and he said this. He said, to create a social state, there's 8 levels of control that must be obtained before you can create a social state. And the first is the most important. Number one, health care. This is why we had Obamacare. Listen carefully, please. Some of you know this. Control the health care and you'll control the people. Number two, he said poverty. Increase the poverty level as high as possible. Poor people are easier to control and will not fight back if you're providing everything for them to live. That's why Bernie is so popular and even Biden, because they want to give everything away and poor people want it right now. Number three, debt. Increase the debt to unsustainable levels, and you, I don't want to get into this too much because I hate the similar thing that's going on, but that unsustainable level, and that way you will be able to increase taxes, and this will produce more poverty, hence more control. Number four, gun control. Remove the ability. Are y'all getting some of this stuff I'm saying? Sounds a whole lot like the platform of the Democrats. And this is exactly what all of them has bought into. Our political people in Washington are living by Saul Alinsky's playbook. Gun control. Remove the ability to defend themselves from the government. And that way you'll be able to create a police state. Number five, welfare. Take control of every aspect of their lives, food, housing, and income. Number six, education. Take control of what people read and listen to and take control of what the children learn in school. They are not getting educated. You know that. By the public school, they're not being educated. They're being indoctrinated. This is why they don't even know who the vice president is or anything that's going on in America. They just know how to transgender. Number next, religion. Remove the belief in God from the government and schools. Number next, class warfare. Divide the people into wealthy and poor. This will cause more discontent and will be easier to tax the wealthy with the support of the poor. That's that distribution of wealth. Does any of this sound like what's happening in the United States of America. Alinsky merely simplified Vladimir Lenin's original scheme for the world conquest, for communism under Russian rule. Stalin describes it as his converts as useful idiots. Brother Coral, too much is talking about this socialism. What we're seeing is not socialism. It's communism. But we're calling it socialism. Useful idiots. The useful idiots have destroyed every nation in which they have seized power and control. It is presently happening at an alarming rate in the United States of America. Listen to this quote. It is difficult to free fools from the chains they revere. And that's what they're doing. They're scaring us into this mess. Hard decisions that have to be made by us. Decisions that seem like when there is no decision, we still got to make a choice. And I'm telling you right now that we need to make that choice. And that choice needs to be pretty quick. And when we so do, if we sit here, we're going to die. If we go in there, we're going to die. Go back to the world, we're going to die. But just maybe we need to face these people that are telling us no. And just by maybe, God's hand will move. Father, I pray that you'd help us, dear God. Simple message. Nothing new under the sun, Lord. We see it here in the scriptures. I love you, Lord, today, and I want to do my... My heart's about to explode. I've suppressed what's in me. My daddy put that fire, put that fight in me. My preachers have put that fight in me. My God has put that fight in me. And I have suppressed it. No more suppression. Let my people go. No more suppression. Dear God, I pray that we'd make these decisions to hear the voice of God one more time. May we hear His voice. May we understand sometimes in the darkest hours that when the light shines, may that sunshine come again. Because the sun's going to come up in the morning. And God, I pray that we'd make these right choices, hard choices. But may we look the enemy in the eye and say, we shall. I pray that you'd bless and help these simple messages to the hearts of the people. Have us to have enough backbone to stand, dear God, please. How awful it is for us to be in a free country, a free people. Living under suppression. It ought not be. Never thought in my lifetime I'd ever see it. And so I pray, dear God, please, that you do something in our hearts these next few days. And may you get the victory and praise and honor for all of it, please. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, even you that live stream, I wish you'd just go ahead and get on your knees right now and think about it for a minute. Let God do a work in your heart. These things ought not be. No graduation for the seniors. Our poor senior kids worked for 12 years to march across a platform to receive a diploma and can't even do that because of this insanity. Men in our church that worked hard all their life being laid off. Struggling to make it. Right now in Indianapolis, as Brother Kavanaugh's brother is a detective there, individuals going around sliding on the cars, cutting the catalytic converter out and getting the metals, the precious metals in there. It's getting bad because when it comes down to it, when push comes to shove, people are going to rob, steal, rape. They're going to do whatever they're going to do. They're coming after what we got. They're going to survive. It's a shame, dear Lord. that we allowed this to happen. And I hope folks will get on their face and say, it is time, we have had enough. And we shall stand. And we shall rise again out of the ashes. And we want an assembly. And our church people want it. And our assistant pastors want it. And our nation wants it. And sinners want it. Sinners weighed in the balances all over our community. Could you imagine? Northwest Bible Baptist Church has had folks saved and baptized every service but two services, two Sundays in 38 years until this happened. Think about that for a minute. Like a perpetual revival. And yet now, over these past weeks, nobody in the congregation, nobody to get saved, nobody to get baptized. We can't even fulfill the Great Commission under this oppression. I pray, dear Lord, that you'd bring us back. I pray our people understand the importance of it all. I pray those that at home and those that are under the sound of our voice and live streaming, dear God, would get on their face and say, dear Lord, the preachers are right. This is just not right. What they're doing to us is not right. It's not constitutionally right. It's not biblically right. We are a free country and a free people. We are not Cuba. We are not Venezuela. We're not Russia. We're America. That makes us exceptional. It makes us free people and freeborn. And dear God, I pray, dear God, please that you'd free us. May your hand move upon the leaders. We have prayed for them, dear God. May you move upon our president. May your hand move upon, Lord, the locals, the police chiefs and the state's attorneys and all of those, our governor, dear Lord. If he's so interested in the death of people in Illinois, why don't he go to Chicago and stop the bloodletting? Worse than Iraq, worse than Afghanistan. I just can't see where he's that concerned with life. I see where he's concerned with a power grab. And Lord, there's so much of this going on right now, and we can see it very plainly. And some of the stories we can go into is just so absurd, it's not even worth mentioning. But dear God, we see it very clearly, and have many of us to see it. May seers see it, and may they proclaim it to the people. I pray that you'd bless and help, Lord, all that's said and done today. We love Faith Baptist Church, Brother Angel, what he means to our ministry and our college. Dr. Coral, all these many years of standing so true and so good and having a great paper, dear Lord, and preaching his life away, Lord, in so many churches, him and Miss Kathy going all over the world. Bless them, keep them healthy, dear Lord. And bless our people as we go back to work and go back to worship. I pray you'd help us, dear God, please. Please help us, dear Lord. We need you, Lord. We're nothing without you. Without you, we can do nothing. But, Lord, if you intervene and move and your hand moves, we could see great victory come. And I know without a shadow of a doubt, Lord, that if all of us would, I mean every church in town, I'm not talking about just independent Baptists, but bless God, if anybody ought to be back to doing the right thing, should be us independent Baptists. But I'm talking about every church in town opening their doors. They could not, they cannot stop us. It's impossible. So, Lord, I pray that you do something in our community, in our state, in our nation, and yes, around the world. Pray that you'd bless and help now the remainder of the conference. Bless the preachers tonight and the rest of the week. We ask in Jesus' name.